Hello, Gaston County. Welcome to episode number 122 of Gaston's Great. As we have said many times, it's a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening in and around Gaston County. I'm your host, Steve Malongi. We're coming to you once again from the international headquarters of GSM Services right here in downtown Gastonia. We're going to shift gears again, as we've done three other episodes, and kind of continue our discussion on leadership. And for those of you who are disappointed at not having a nonprofit or organization on, well, stay tuned till next week. This is what we call our filler episodes, but we are big and love talking about leadership here at GSM. We were discussing a book and three other episodes. If you want to go back, you can find them. Sorry, I don't have the episode numbers in front of me, but I'm talking about a great book that we have studied here at GSM called Way of the Shepherd. And if you're listening to hearing this for the first time, it's going to remind you that we have Mark Benton joining us here today, who is our operations manager in our residential group here at GSM. But he has a great backstory and history of tremendous leadership, both before his time here at GSM and also here since he's been a team member of here at GSM. Again, he's running a group that, frankly, I consider to be the best led group here at GSM Services. But we're going to go back a little bit to again, as I said, if you haven't heard this before, there's seven principles in the Way of the Shepherd that discuss leadership, leading teams specifically. And let's review the first three, because we're going to talk about principle number four today. But again, when we talk about Way of the Shepherd, we're using it in a reference of literally a shepherd leading their flock of sheep. So but we're going to apply that to teams and people as well. But that first principle was know the condition of your flock. The second principle was discover the shape of your sheep, so knowing what condition they're in. And number three was help your sheep identify with you. So I would encourage you, if you haven't heard the other episodes before we move on here, I would encourage you maybe even pause this one and go back and listen to the other three episodes and then come back to this one. But principle number four, I'm just going to go ahead and share it, and then we'll get into a little bit of a detailed discussion about that. But principle number four is make your pasture a safe place. So, of course, you can translate that into make your company, make your office, make your team, make your whatever area it is you're working in, church, whatever you might be involved with, you're leading your family, for your kids, just anything and everything that you might be involved with, or you might find yourself in a leadership position. And we're talking about a safe place, and maybe for the 2024 in us, we're not using the phrase safe space. That's a different discussion that we're probably not going to get into.
Another thing. Yeah,
but there's a lot that goes into this. So give you some quick background on specific on the book, and then I'll throw some questions at Mark. But if you remember, this is a story about a student in graduate school, and he is getting ready to graduate, and he's asking for advice from one of his professors because he's gotten a job at this company, and he's going to be leading a team. He feels comfortable about the technical side of what he's going to be doing, but the leading team part. So he's asked Dr. Newman for advice over a period of time right before graduation on how to do that. So on this one, make your pasture a safe place, Dr. Newman takes the student to a field basically full of, for lack of a better description, emaciated sheep. They're matted, they're gnarly, got gnarly wool, it's brown grass or no grass in the pasture. And if you take a closer look, you can see flies swarming around the heads and eyes of the flock. You got sores infested with bugs. I mean, it's just not a good sight. So literally, he's showing him an example of a pasture that is not a safe place for those sheep. So they're being neglected. So how do you convert that? So I guess it is a good place to start. Leadership is to show you what a safe place isn't, right? Because sometimes, you know, that's helpful to know the difference, right, between a good safe place and something that's not a safe place. But the same thing can happen to teams and workplaces, or again, like I said, anything that you might be involved with. So Mark, I'm going to turn it over to you, because Mark and I have both read this book multiple times. We've kind of studied it, and just from your perspective and from the general leadership studies that we've done, but maybe even besides just Way of the Shepherd, but specifically here, kind of how do you interpret that? What do you take from that principle number four, make your pasture or workplace, and in our case, a safe place?
Yeah, I think for me, it's, what do we say all the time, right? Is how do you know it's bad? But if you've lived with bad and you've seen bad leadership and you've been that emaciated sheep and you've been that sheep that has sores and cuts on him, you know when you get into a safe spot. You know, when right. all of a sudden, and so it's almost like, you know, I've always said I almost like the broken things. You know, I don't really, I enjoy fixing the broken things. That's why I'm a technician, right? But I also like to see someone that's been in that shape and being able to bring them into a place of safety and a place of appreciation and a place of healing that all of a sudden they realize, hey, okay, this is a good place to be.
So how would you describe that? So, I mean, there's a lot of things that he touches on in the book and through that process, but how would you describe, what are some of the things that the author kind of uses to describe a safe place? How do you know? I mean, what, you know, what are the five or six things maybe that, that if you were outside looking in, you can say, oh yeah, you know, this team, this workplace, this pasture, so to speak, is a safe place.
I think I go back to Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek said the explain the why first. And I think that a lot of times you're told to go do something and you're never given the why. So therefore the buy-in isn't there of understanding how does that improve my situation? How does that improve my customer situation? So one of the first things I try to stand on is one of the pillars I try to stand on is explaining the why, you know, and I think you actually get grace from your people when you've done that consistently, that there are times in a fast situation that I'm like, go do it. I'll give you the why later. And they automatically trust and go, Mark said to go do it. He'll give me the why later. Boom. And they go and do it with no question. Because they know I'm going to circle back and go.
Because you've built that trust. You've built that safe place up to that point.
Yes.
You couldn't start that way with a new team. Is that fair?
Right. Yeah. That's right. Then you become a dictator, right? You're not really leading, right? There's a difference between a dictator and a leader, right? You know, a dictator, you know, bah, 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 you're going to do it this way or I'm going to fire you. You're going to do it this way or you're not, you know. A leader is going to lead you down that road and is going to also empower you to make decisions. You know, I think a failure when I see a team that is frozen until the leader tells them, go do this.
Right.
That for me, you know, some people may enjoy that. I don't know why you would as a leader, but some people may enjoy that power, right, or something. But for me, that's actually that's a deficiency in leadership. If your people are scared to move, then you haven't empowered them. You haven't given them, and by explaining that why over and over and over again, they start learning your process. They start learning the way you're thinking. They start learning that Mark's going to say it's okay. If I'm taking care of a customer or another teammate, he's going to give me the green light to do that. You know,
right.
You know, and I think that's empowerment. And then we've talked about this a lot, of keeping your people informed, right? Because if you don't tell them what's going on, they're gonna create their own narrative.
Right.
They're gonna create their own story and say, oh, well, this is why we're doing this. And God, most of the time, unfortunately, that is not accurate, you know, because they've built it in their mind. So being able to explain the why and tell them why we're doing this, why we're moving this direction. You know, if we go into our loyalty club program, right, you know, telling somebody, go sell loyalty clubs, you know, go sell loyalty clubs. But if you explain to them the why, that it's going to enable us to help more people. It's going to enable us to, you know, get our message out there farther of helping people and doing the right things. And plus on the backside, when it's 70 degrees outside, it's going to give us an opportunity to be out there and let you go to work
right.
instead of sitting at home, right? So, yeah, but if you didn't do that, it would be what? What would the story they would think of? You know, what story would they think of if you just walked in there?
Yeah, it's all about Mark or the company as opposed to what's in it for them, what's in it for the customer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's understanding, yeah, talking about that why. So when you talked about the dictator, it's more, they're more leading out of fear.
Yes.
Or personal benefit as opposed to what's best for the team overall. Is that a fair?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah, very much so. And then, you know, for me too, it's, you know, every position, and I said this before, I think in one of the meetings, and you grinned because I know you're a Wolfpack fan, but I said, you know, every pack, the alpha's great, right? The alpha is, you know, everybody, for whatever reason in our society, we've tried to turn it to where everybody wants to be an alpha. Everybody has to be, you know, pushed. No, you don't.
Or we think we gravitate toward the alpha leader. Right.
Yeah, you're not successful if you're not an alpha. No, that's not true. You know, everybody has a place. Everybody has importance. Everybody has value. God gave us value, right? You know, so we need to build that value with someone. You know, I may be a great technician, technically, but I may not do well when it comes to, you know, speaking to homeowners, right? You know, well, this other person may not be the best technician in the world, but he may have a great opportunity with homeowners and have a great reaction with homeowners. Well, you build on that strength. You know, you don't tell him, well, you don't want to be a service manager, so you must not have any ambition in your life. You know, it's, no.
So you're talking about, I mean, could put it another way, you're talking about the leader in this case needs to be able to show the value of every
yes.
member of the team, every position, if it's in a company. Just, but it's legit. But it's got to be legit too. It's not just you know, chatter and talk. It's understanding the value of every profession and position in a company or team or whatever the case may be.
Well, go with what we've talked about before too. Is find the value, right? Even because how many of us, you know, unfortunately. Man, you know, how many people don't believe they have value?
Right.
Through whatever.
They don't see it for some reason.
Yeah, you know what I mean? For whatever reason, they don't even feel like they have value. And so they come to you and they're broken and they think, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm just this. I hate that phrase. When somebody says, well, I'm just
a service tech.
I'm just an installer. Tech. I'm just that. And I'm God.
I'm just a bank teller. I'm just a whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Insert job or insert position.
Right. And they use that word just, right? And I'm going, somebody has not empowered them. Somebody has not said, hold your head up, man. Wash your face. Hold your head up and say, I am a mechanic. I am a bank teller. I am this. And do that with pride, you know, and have that value, have that that feeling of importance in your life. And I feel like that is part of the leadership journey is you've got to tell people, hey man, you're important.
Yeah.
You mean something to me. You know, you're important to me. You know, I think it was years ago, but I heard someone go, you know, well, you know, you probably don't even care. You know, you don't even care if I leave or stay. And I kind of went, okay, I failed this person, right? I have, as a leader, I have not shown him how valuable, and it's weird, isn't it? Because you've done it. I've watched you do it to people. Isn't it weird that when you start building value with someone, how it seems like this is the first time they've heard it?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and they put their head down, and they don't make eye contact with you, and they put their head down, and it's like, hey, man, look at me. You know, and when they look up at you, they you can almost see that emotion in their eyes, and you're going, no one's ever told you what a great human being you are. Having. And they, no, you know, and I'm like, well, that's going to change today. You know, you are a great person, you know. And then unfortunately, then there's the other side of it, right, which is culling the chronic instigators from the flock.
Yeah, because it's kind of our experience, I think, in 30 years here and just, so many things I've been involved with, there is a certain percentage of individuals who you're not going to get them built up, right? You're not going to get them on the team, so to speak. Their instigator is a pretty strong word, but that's probably a fair word. I mean, so how would you translate that from the shepherd concept in the book to real life? I mean, what do you do? How do you recognize those instigators and what do you do about it?
Yeah, well, I think I go back to Dave Ramsey, right? I've listened to enough Dave Ramsey. I've read enough Dave Ramsey to where basically Dave Ramsey is going, hey, this is who we are. we want you to be here, but this behavior is not acceptable. You know, we want to help you change. We want to give you the resources to do better. We want to give you the opportunities to do better. But if you're not willing to put the work in, if you're not willing to meet me there, I'm not going to bend my culture for you.
Right.
And a lot of times what you see is when those people see that they can't manipulate the culture, they kind of find their own way out. You know, very seldom, I will say very seldom, do you have to actually go down the road and say, you know, hey, man, I'm going to have to let you be happy, move on somewhere else, something like that. A lot of times, if you've built a tight enough team, the team will squeeze.
Yeah, the team will move them out.
Yeah,
the team. Or they'll realize that they're not.
Yeah, they don't line up with our values, right, or they don't line up with our, you know, what we're trying to accomplish.
What about this one? I mean, I really like this one. The way he words it in the book is reassure the sheep by staying visible.
Mm-hmm.
So what does what comes to mind when you hear that one?
My thing is you have to be present, right? Presence, right? Is you have to let them know you're there with them, right? I think we all remember the Bugs Bunny cartoon where the dog is up on the hill and the sheep are, you know, the down there in the pasture and the you know. But if I guarantee you that
is that the one where the sheep start disappearing?
Yeah, that's the one down the hole, boom, 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 like it right there and everything.
You know what we're talking about?
We don't know what you're talking about, do you, Naomi?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, but you know, and I'm going, okay, so you have to be there. They have to know. And one of the things I love about my team leads, you know, I won't call names, but yeah, I will. Charlie, Jay, Scott, Owen, Sean, Danny, is they are there. And if the guys have a problem, they can go out and do great work every day because they know that their support staff is right there. Their support staff is within hand's reach of them, right? And I hope that my leads feel that same security.
Yeah, you can't be disconnected from
their
team and the people that you are leading. As in, so in the business world, like in our world, in the construction, home services, and commercial service world, you can't sit in your office.
Oh, right? No.
You can't just sit in the office with the door closed and trying to manage and point around. And but so regardless of the team or organization, yeah, you got to get on the field with them. You got to, you know, you just have to be engaged with them. And again, you can't be just electronically, so to speak, or digitally, especially with, you know, the crazy world we live in. You can communicate that way all the time, but that doesn't, I don't believe that works, you know, long term. I think being visible doesn't mean visible on FaceTime or Zoom, right? We're talking about a much, much more intimate interactions than that.
Well, you live that for 20, you know, I've been here 22 years and you've lived that for 22 years with me. You know, I remember being in the field doing a maintenance and hearing, you know, you knock on the crawl space door and say, "Hey man, you good?" And I would go, "Hey, Steve, what's going on?" You know, and you would crawl right under there with me and say, "Hey, what we got going on?" And I would be able to say, "Oh, this is what we've got, boom, boom, boom." Or up in an attic, I would hear you talk to the homeowner, and I'd always smile, and I'd go, you know, "Okay, Steven's out. You know, Steven's up here with me right now." And you get a certain level of confidence knowing that your leader is under there with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I've told the guys before, is I said, "Man, you know, when you're out there with those guys, watch them. Their chest goes out a little bit. They're not scared anymore because their leader's there and they know." So I think it's important. You got to stay present. One of the things I always did as a service manager is I always wanted to be there early in the morning and I wanted to see the guys when they came in the parking lot because I wanted to look in their eyes. I wanted to be sure they were good. They were ready to serve. They were ready to serve our customer. They were ready to do the things they needed to do that day. And if they weren't, I wanted them to know that I was there with them. You know, what can I do? Is there something going on? Is there something you need to talk about? You know, what's the next step? And I've watched my leaders do that. You know, the leaders that have taken my place, really, you know, I've watched them get out there with the guys and spend time in the field with them. And I think that's hugely important.
So let's touch on this last one. And this is, you know, this is the second one that's probably, I would consider getting into that difficult side of leadership, or maybe more difficult side. You know, the other one was, you know, it's culling the instigators from the flock. So this last one is, don't give problems time to fester.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one because my experience is early on in my leadership career, boy, I wanted to avoid problems like the plague. You know, I didn't want to deal with them. I would hope that they would just go away, yeah. Right?
Yep.
So, yeah, just maybe comment. We'll finish this episode up shortly, but comment on that one because that's a big one.
It's huge because, if you let it fester, it's, you know, nothing good is going to come out of it festering out. You need to deal with it, and you deal with it. There's a big difference between the guy that's screaming across the floor, right, you know, yelling at somebody. And one of the things that I've really pushed hard, and I think we do a good job at now, is we don't discuss things in meetings anymore. We deal with it one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a problem with quality, right, I'm not going to waste everybody's time for 30 minutes talking about quality when I got one person.
Correct, yes.
And again, I think you go to that person in a place of, I think a place of understanding, not a place of anger, not a place of, you know, anything like that. You go to them in a place of understanding and say, hey, I'm going to use your phrase here, Stephen. You know, can you explain to me what happened on this job?
Help me understand.
Yeah, help me understand what happened on this job.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot better than your quality look like crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and going down that road, it just say, hey, man, explain to me what happened. Help me understand what happened here. And that gives an open, that's you're opening up for discussion at that point because we've been there, right? You're looking at the 100, you know, at the 100-foot view or the 1,000-foot view. You think you see detail, but you don't see detail. A lot of times if you ask that leading question and say, can you explain to me what happened? Or can you explain to me, you know, how this happened here? You'll get a little bit more detail and be able to go, okay. And then you don't look like an idiot by jumping, you know, then that way you don't look at it. But yeah, but if it is a problem, if it is a place that you don't think you can coach your way out of, then you got to go back up to call your Cronin instigators and say, hey, this is not who we are here. And I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah, my experience just tells me, unfortunately, that you made a great point about if you have a team and there's maybe one individual with an issue or a problem, the easy way out is to address the whole team as, you know, this is the kind of thing we can't do.
Right.
Or whatever specific, you know, issue it is. I mean, that's the easy way out as opposed to pulling, coaching that individual one-on-one, right? Because I've seen situations where I've done it or I've seen others do it and the rest of the team is looking around like, what are you talking about?
Well, the people that care are going to get offended.
Yeah.
The person that doesn't care, it's going to roll off of him like water off a duck's back. Yeah. You know, it doesn't bother him at all.
Yeah. So that's a good one. But you just get, and just dealing with that quickly. And I'm trying to think of another example in the leadership world would be like if there's, as a leader, if there's something going on with two team members, right? One of them comes to you. The other one comes to you. Get those two people together quick.
Yes.
And talk it out because the whole two people coming to you with different stories, that's another example of where back in the day I would really not want to deal with that either. But I've learned the hard way that, you can deal with that kind of thing immediately. You get them both together face to face. And it's amazing what you find out in those type of situations. That's a similar one, right? Those kind of things fester, with personnel. With team members, the real world, everybody doesn't get along all the time perfectly, but those interpersonal issues will fester and cause some long-term issues.
Well, what you said too is if you do something and I don't address it immediately, I'm basically telling you that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? And then if I continue to procrastinate, and I don't, because I don't want to deal with it right now. Oh, it's not a good time to deal with it right now. Well, now if they've done it 3 or 4 times, it's become a habit. And then when you do address it, they look at you and go, I've been doing that for 2 weeks and you didn't say anything to me. You know, and you're going, okay. Yeah, well,
The silence can be interpreted as condoning it or it's okay or whatever.
That's what you said.
If there's some gray area on the standards, right? So you know, we're coming up on 25 minutes or so, Naomi. So, I got to be careful, right? Because these type of topics, you and I, We'll be 60 minutes in. We'll still be talking about it. And Naomi would be like steam coming out of her ears and her headphones, like, what in the world is going on here? Yeah. So yeah, she'll be cutting us off. But listen, I'm gonna any last words, Mark, before we cut this episode out?
No, sir. Everything's
all right. So, you know, I normally have a book recommendation. As I told Naomi right before we started recording, I was not prepared today. But luckily, I've got Naomi and Mark here to cover for me. But I'm going to go back and cheat and just remind you, listeners, once again, the book we're talking about here is Way of the Shepherd by Dr. Kevin Lehman and Bill Pentak. And I would, if you're in any type of leadership, you have people you're trying to grow their leadership, coach them into better leaders, especially of teams. Man, I would strongly, this is just a simple read, relatively short book that I would strongly recommend that you utilize. So, again, we will continue to have these episodes and discuss leadership when we need to, and hope you enjoyed it. So, as usual, to our listeners out there, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. Continue to spread the word if you can about the podcast, and please don't hesitate to contact us here at our email address, which is podcast@gastonsgreat.com. We're always looking for suggestions for future podcast topics and guests. You can find the podcast and subscribe at the website, gastonsgreat.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And please follow us on all our social media platforms. And thanks again to Mark for his insight and being our guest today. We'll probably hear from him again as we continue on this leadership discussion. But never fear, we do have other episodes scheduled to record in the coming weeks as well with others from our community. So Gaston's Great is produced and brought to you by Naomi Hunt and Amy Anderson from GSM Services. I'm your host, Stephen Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us, and please keep coming back to hear more reasons why Gaston's Great.